Well, today we are visiting with Cale Pellett. Cale is, it's actually now at Iowa State University, but Cale was participating in the National FFA Convention here just a few weeks ago, representing the Atlantic FFA. Cale, how are you this morning?
Doing good. How about yourself?
Well, good. How'd you enjoy convention this year?
Oh, convention was great, you know, especially having the opportunity to be on stage and recognized for some pretty big awards and things like that, so it was great.
Yeah, I want to talk about that opportunity for you. You were a national finalist in the National FFA Proficiency Award in Grain Production Entrepreneurship. Now, that's a mouthful. I'll let you explain it.
Okay, yeah. And so, obviously, grain production is part of it. And so, these past couple of years, I've been renting some land for my grandfather, Bill, and raising corn and beans on that. And so, I decided to do a project for the corn aspect that would kind of encompass that grain production. And since it's basically me running all that business and the whole operations with that, is considered an entrepreneurship. And so, yeah, just kind of a project where you tell a little bit about what you do. And so, you know, I just kind of explained how I rent this 50-acre field, and over the past several years been putting a lot more input into it. So now I'm making basically all the decisions, you know, selecting seed varieties and hybrids, things like that, choosing chemicals, when to spray them, meeting with some agronomic advisors and kind of making some management decisions, along with, you know, deciding where that grain's going to go after it's harvested, whether you take it to the elevator or the ethanol plant or decide to store it and, you know, hope for a better price.
Well, I know it's not a full-time job, but it sounds like a full-time responsibility.
Oh, yeah. It's always something that's in the back of my mind, whether I'm at school or back home or something. I always got to be thinking about what's the next move.
A little real life experience. Did you get some help, a little input from family and friends?
Yep. So just kind of as I've grown up, around the farm and things like that, I've had a lot of help from my dad and my grandpa, and just learning basic things, you know, how to operate equipment, looking at soil types and kind of judging what seeds would work best for that. As well as some of those marketing decisions, you know, like how to watch for, basis drops within cash corn price markets or, you know, working future markets as well. So, yeah, definitely had a lot of help from family and in getting to the place where I'm at now.
Absolutely. Well, I know you won the Iowa competition with this project, and I know you get a plaque and a cash award with that. But what else comes along with that? How do you fit this into your future?
Yeah, so as you said, yeah, I'm up at Iowa State right now, and so I'm studying agricultural business with plans to pick up a second major in economics and then a minor in agronomy. And so with that, I'm kind of looking at two different things right now. I either like to go into grain merchandising, which is basically, you know, just buying and selling grain for an ethanol plant or a local elevator or something, and then crop sales, which, you know, maybe like a district sales manager or something for a seed or chemical company doing sales and things like that. So I think I definitely got an interest, just with the crop side of things and watching how my crop has grown over the year and during the season. And just kind of as it, you know, matures and things like that, it's always been pretty interesting to me. And then with the merchandising, ever since I've been, you know, in charge of marketing all that grain after it's stored, I just got really interested in how, you know, global events and things happening around the country can affect prices and, you know, how I can kind of anticipate that. And so, yeah, it's just really interested me. So, you know, maybe if I do decide to go into merchandising, I can also always bring that stuff back home to the farm.
Yeah, you bet. Well, this was more than just a project for you. This is kind of a small business.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, I know you've been around the farm pretty much all of your life, but how do exercises like this help you know that this is kind of something you want to do?
Well, I think that, honestly, the thing that goes with that mostly is just enjoying what you do. And so this hasn't really been much of a project, I guess, for me. It's just been something I tried out when I was younger. I think I was maybe 13 or 14 when I started doing this. And just really grew to love it. Just everything that goes a part of it. Also, just kind of knowing that you have that ownership of your own thing, and so in this case, it's the field. I think it's just honestly a lot about passion and growing up with it and learning to love it.
You bet. Well, and FFA obviously helped you along with this, too, because it gave you the opportunity to be able to do a project like this at this level. And it's something that really helps out a lot of youngsters get started and really kind of figure out where they want to be.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm a huge advocate for FFA. I think that's one of the key places I learned a lot of my leadership skills, especially being chapter president this past year, and just learning, you know, every aspect with leadership, whether that's communicating with other team members or, you know, being relatable to the rest of the members in the chapter as well. And just that's really helped me, I think, also as I've continued on here at Iowa State and starting to fill some leadership roles here at school as well. So it's going really well. I got a lot to attribute to the FFA.
Absolutely. Well, hey, congratulations on the project and how well you did with that. And best of luck in the future, Cale. I sure appreciate it.
Yep, thanks, Jim.
Also, we have with us Emily Soigling with the Atlantic FFA chapter, also a student at Iowa State University. And Emily had a chance to attend the national convention, and she participated in the National FFA Prepared Public Speaking Leadership Development event and got all the way to the national semifinals. Emily, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. That sounds like a pretty exciting opportunity for you.
Yeah, it was a phenomenal experience. I was really blessed to go and do that, competing at nationals. Just an awesome opportunity to share about a topic that I love and work on my public speaking skills as well.
I want to talk about your title. Tell us what your speech was titled.
So my speech was Hurting the U.S. Towards Mandatory Traceability. And I was speaking about implementing a mandatory traceability policy for the U.S. beef industry.
Okay. Why is this an important topic to you?
I actually wasn't very knowledgeable about mandatory traceability until I had the chance earlier in the summer to sit in on some of the Iowa Cattlemen's Association policy meetings, and mandatory traceability was a topic that was huge in those policy meetings. So I started researching it just a little bit more, and just with disease outbreak and kind of more of consumer interest in where their meat is coming from, there's a need kind of for the industry to gravitate towards mandatory traceability, and it's important that we get behind it now just so that we can create a policy that's more industry-driven. We don't really want to be forcing producers to participate in this traceability thing. We want it to be something that they can kind of see the purpose of, and they can kind of set how they want to do it to make it work for their operation.
Mm-hmm. Now, for the layman out there, can you explain in simple terms what this all means?
So basically a mandatory traceability policy would mean that we'd be able to track an animal on each step of that farm to fork process. So a calf would most likely get an EID tag or electronic identification device when they're born, so they'd be tagged on the cow-calf operation with that. And that tag would follow them, you know, as they move to the stocker backgrounder, as they move to the feedlot, and to the packer. So that way, if there was ever a disease outbreak, then we would actually be able to look at that EID tag and know all the steps that animal took wherever it went, and that way you could keep disease contained a lot easier.
Sure. Why is that important to the consumer?
So we think that's something that's really important to the consumer, just because if you know that the beef industry is able to keep disease contained, you're going to feel a lot more confident just eating U.S. beef if there ever was a disease outbreak. I know back in 2003, there was a case of mad cow disease, and that actually greatly affected exports for the U.S. beef industry, just because consumers were a little bit afraid and scared of consuming beef after you hear about some sort of disease outbreak. So really, the ultimate goal of this is to build consumer confidence in the beef industry.
Well, you did do your homework, didn't you?
Yeah, I did a lot of research. So it was really cool.
Talk about how FFA fits into your future plans. How has it helped you in your mission in through life in trying to find your niche?
FFA has been huge in my life. I came into high school and I wasn't even sure if I was going to join the organization. I had two older brothers who were both involved with it, so I just decided to go for it. And I started doing little things, little leadership conferences, little CDEs, just stuff to get me out of my comfort zone. At that time in my life, I couldn't even stand in front of a classroom to give a project presentation without getting shakes or getting nervous and really stumbling over my words. So all those little things in FFA just made me more confident in myself. And I think that was huge. It's still surreal to me going to nationals and competing in an event like public speaking. You're memorizing a 6 to 8 minute speech. And if you would have told me that I would have been doing that 4 years ago, I wouldn't have believed you. It's cool to see what FFA can do to help you kind of find what you love doing, find what you're good at, and really develop some of those skills that are going to be essential just for success in your future.
Yeah, well, and FFA comes along at a point in your life where there's so much development and growth, too. So many opportunities there to help you along that path. And national convention's always a neat thing, too. Did you have some fun while you were there?
Oh, yeah. It was good to be able to come back and see some of the kids from the chapter as well, and just able to do that. I got to go to the Garth Brooks concert, so that's always really fun as well.
Yeah, I'm sure there weren't hardly anybody. There were probably all kinds of empty seats at the Garth Brooks concert this year, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sure. Not a chance. Well, very good. Well, Emily, good luck to you up there at Iowa State. Hope you continue to enjoy the path that you've chosen.
Yeah, I'm really liking it up there and looking forward to see what else it brings.
Very good. That's Emily Soigling with the Atlantic FFA chapter, and Cale Pellett also with the Atlantic FFA chapter, excelling this year in their efforts at National Convention. Appreciate it.